Hello, and welcome to the Recruiting Career Talent Management Podcast, RCTM for short. A place for you to learn how to really get hired, build your team, and develop your career. I'm your host, Mike Adamo. I've been an executive recruiter and HR leader for almost two decades. During my corporate career, I rose from an individual contributor to a senior leader at an S&P 500 company within 6 years. I've managed high-performing teams, hired, fired, and developed leaders. My goal is to educate you, entertain, and motivate you as we continue this journey in business and personal development. The bottom line is I want to help you to accomplish your career goals, learn how to ask for raises, hire better employees, get that dream job, and make more money. So get ready to go deep inside the world of business success, and welcome to the RCTM podcast. RCTM episode 2, putting together a resume that really stands out. Thanks for joining me here today and tuning in again to another episode of the Recruiting Career Talent Management Podcast. If this is your first time, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thanks for joining. I'm really pleased that you're putting in the investment of your time into developing yourself and learning more how you can enhance your career through focus on the things that executive recruiters and HR professionals think will help you to be more successful. In today's episode, I'll share experiences and ideas that I've learned out of my two decades in executive recruitment and HR leadership when it comes to putting together a resume that really stands out. We'll cover the following topics: purpose of a resume, differentiating yourself, format and style tips, top 10 resume mistakes, and finally, resume frequently asked questions. Purpose of a resume. So let's talk about the purpose of a resume. The purpose of a resume is to get an interview, not to be a be-all and end-all novel. No one ever gets hired from just a resume. So don't let the resume knock you out. A resume exists so that you can create interest from potential employers and recruiters so that they want to speak to you and learn more about your background. Really, the sales concept here is say what you need to and then stop selling. In this podcast, we'll talk a lot about selling because at the end of the day, interviewing is about selling yourself, and hiring really great people is about selling yourself, your organization, and the career opportunity that you're going to provide for potential employees. So other ancillary purposes of a resume: convey your contact information, list of major employers, titles, and summarizing key accomplishments, providing information on your education, certifications, and special training. It's also a guide for you and the interviewer during the phone interview. And that's an important point. This is a document that you and the interviewer are going to use to organize yourselves throughout the interview process. So it's important when constructing a resume to keep these points in mind. So the question is, all resumes have this type of information, but how do you differentiate yourself? In order to understand this, you must know that there are many people doing the exact same job as you. Remember, there's lots of people doing whatever you think you are doing that's so special. Other people are doing that too. So what makes you different? Is it that you managed a team of six people and ran a $30 million budget? Are there others who can make that claim? What makes you different is your accomplishments. So what did you do, or what impact did you have? The definition of accomplishment coming straight from Google is, one, something that has been achieved successfully. Quote, the reduction of inflation, the successful achievement of a task, the, quote, accomplishment of plan objectives, end quote. And the third definition of accomplishment, an activity that a person can do well, typically as a result of study or practice. Quote, long distance running was another of her accomplishments, end quote. It's accomplishments that make you different, not responsibilities. I'm going to repeat that. It's your accomplishments that make you different, not your responsibilities. So listing a bunch of things that you are responsible for doesn't make you different. What makes you different is the things that you are able to accomplish within those responsibilities. If you start to think that way, both in your resume and in your interviews, you're going to get more interviews and you're going to get more job offers. And if you start to think of this in this way as a hiring manager, if you look at what was this individual's accomplishments, you're going to hire better people. Because again, do you want to hire someone that can be responsible for doing their job? Or do you want someone that's responsible and can get things done or create accomplishments? So accomplishments is a key framework both when you create a resume or when you interview people. So it's accomplishments that make you different, not responsibilities. Think in terms of what you say that can differentiate you from other people in the same role with the same responsibilities. Let's try an example. Let's say you are a manufacturing engineer. A responsibility resume would say, responsible for maintaining the XYZ manufacturing line, documenting manufacturing processes, designing fixtures and tooling, running DOE and SPC, adhering to FDA guidelines. So what's wrong with that format? It's the same. It doesn't make you look or sound different. Joe Schmo, a lazy employee, would have the same resume as you. The high achiever, the hard worker, the person with a career on the rise would not stand out. So let's take another look at our fictitious manufacturing engineer. Responsible for maintaining the XYZ manufacturing line. Led a project to reduce scrap by 50%, saving the company $100,000 per quarter. Developed new workflow that reduced injuries by 33% and increased assembler job satisfaction. Designed a new jig for the XYZ assembly that reduced blank, blank, blank by blank, blank, blank. So what's different here? Responsibilities are replaced by saving money or increasing revenue. I'd hire this guy, wouldn't you? So what if you don't have accomplishments? You better work harder. You better think harder. You better figure out what impact you do have or create an impact. It's all about impact, not about responsibilities. The best resumes give some detail both about what you do and more about your impact. I'd go for 70-30 here. 70% impact, 30% responsibilities. You should emphasize how you have increased your responsibilities and impact in each job. Companies want to hire high achievers, not people who just show up for work. Highlight how you are constantly improving or increasing your impact. Format and style tips. Your resume should be clean and easy to follow. Be sure to cover each company as a group. Some resumes treat each promotion as a company or separate role. Try to group time with the same company in a way that's easy to follow so that you don't confuse the person reading your resume and make it appear that you're a job hopper when you've stayed with the organization. This gets challenging when there's acquisitions and mergers, but try your best to create a situation where people can easily understand that you've been with an employer for a while. Job hopping is not attractive to employees. I understand that there's a lot out there about the new workforce and not having to be loyal and being able to move every 2 or 3 years. This really depends on the industry that you're in. In lots of conservative blue chip companies or S&P 500 companies, there's high levels of investment in executives and key employees. They don't want to invest in you so you can stay 18 months to get a promotion and a raise to go somewhere else. So throw that thinking out if you really want to develop a career. Careers are about investing in yourself, organizations investing in you, and growing within an organization, not jumping for the next great opportunity. I'm not saying you shouldn't jump, but you should be mindful that top-performing employees typically stay a minimum of 3 to 5 years at any organization, and many top performers are there 7 to 10 years. So anywhere between 3 and 10 years is the optimal time to be in an organization, and if you ask for a number, I would probably say 5 to 7 years is probably a good balance of being able to move around and have different experiences and creating some staying power so that organizations know they can invest in you. So it's one thing, and we'll talk about this more in our episode that'll be about architecting your career, but think about this as you write your resume. How long have you been in with your employer? Would people consider you a job hopper? It may depend. In some industries, that's okay, like information technology or high technology where companies are constantly going out of business and changing. It might be okay to be somewhere 12 to 18 months and your resume would be full of that. But like I said, in many organizations, this is not considered a plus. Okay, back to our list. Avoid images and logos. Unless you're a visual arts or advertising person, this makes your resume appear busy and can confuse people. And personally, I don't think it's attractive. Do not put your age and keep activity list short and professional. In Europe, that's an exception. People typically put a photo of themselves and their age. But in the U.S., those are not things that are typically included in a resume, so please leave them off. Avoid long lists of publications unless you're a PhD. If you're a PhD and that's important to the people who employ you, then by all means, go ahead and leave your publications on. Otherwise, keep it short. Put your education at the bottom, unless you're a new grad. If you're a new grad, just recently graduated college, your education should be first. If you've been in the working world for over 18 months, it should be at the bottom of your resume. Try to keep your resume to 2 to 3 pages max, unless you're a new grad, and then 1 page is preferred. Common sense is important here. If you've had a long career and many accomplishments, it may make sense to be up to 3 pages. But if you've been in the working world for 2 years and you have a 5-page resume, that's probably too long and people simply aren't going to read it. Remember, another point of your resume is an example of your work. So being able to succinctly state your experiences and impact in a way that people are going to be interested in is a way of showing people how you work. A resume that's extra long tells me that people can't prioritize or tend to take too long with things and have a busy, busy way about themselves at work. A resume that's succinct, well-written, clear and to the point tells me that a person is focused, that they've invested in learning how to write a good resume, and they can clearly and succinctly convey their experiences and their impact. That's the person I want to interview. That's the person I want to hire. List your personal email, not your work email. Many employers don't want to send all the details of your future job offer to your current employer. It's just not a professional practice. Also, many employers have work policies outlining the personal use of email as not acceptable. So remember, adhere to your acceptable use policy and put a personal email. And on the subject of personal emails, try to use one that's professional. Polly Loves Crackers at drinksalot.com would not be an example of a good professional email address. Many people have fun email addresses, and that's great. But you know what? For work, create a work email address. You guys know that you can get out there and you can get a free email address at Yahoo, Google, Gmail, Mac.com. And make it something, your name, your profession, something that's professional and isn't going to raise eyebrows and say, well, what's up with that person? Provide your address and cell phone number, unless it's LinkedIn. You should have your address and contact information on your resume. There's nothing more annoying for an employer than having a resume that doesn't include where the person lives. It makes employers think that people are trying to get cute and apply for a job somewhere they don't live, or mask something. So put your address on there. We want to know how to get in touch with you. And at the end of the day, if you get a job offer, they're going to want to know where to send that letter to. And finally, remember, LinkedIn is a resume. The same rules apply. And one more, make it interesting. You can use logos on LinkedIn. You can use social media on LinkedIn. You can use interactive videos, audio. You can post examples of your work on LinkedIn. And those are all great opportunities to highlight who you are and your accomplishments. One tip, though, remember, don't share examples of work that would be considered proprietary or confidential by your employer. Only use things that you have permission to use on LinkedIn. Typos and grammatical errors. Okay, guys, this is one you really got to watch for. Typos and grammatical errors, as I've said before, the resume is an example of your work. If people think that you're not detail-oriented or precise, and your job requires detail, orientation, and precision, well, that probably could knock you out. And there are many resume screeners out there that won't even call you if they see a typo or an error in your resume. So pass that along to your friends. Have them review it. You can use professional editing services. You can even go to a website called Fiverr.com, and for $5, you can send it to somebody to review your resume. So lots of opportunities there in terms of how you review your resume. Just make sure you don't have any typos in there. 2, lack of specifics. And I'm going to repeat that and change that to lack of accomplishments. 3, attempting a one-size-fits-all. So you should customize your resume to the job that you are applying for. You don't want a general resume that says general things. If you're an engineer and you might apply to a manufacturing job or a quality job, then have a quality-specific resume that highlights your accomplishments in the area of quality, and have a manufacturing one that highlights your accomplishments in the area of manufacturing. Don't end up with a 5-page resume because you're trying to cover too many things or try to use a one-size-fits-all resume. You should customize that resume to the job. If you talk to a recruiter and they say, hey, I have this position, would you be interested? Do you want to send me your resume? Take a few minutes after that and highlight the things in your experiences that are going to fit the job. Customize that resume. 5, going too long or cutting things too short. So we already talked about the size and length of a resume, but the opposite of that is you don't want to be too brief either. You need to strike that balance between detail and succinctness. And again, I'm going to say 2 to 3 pages is the target here. 6, a bad objective or summary. And my view on that is an objective or summary is high risk. First of all, it takes up space that you could use for listing accomplishments. Objectives and summaries are not accomplishments. They're either wish lists or summaries of who someone says they are. Honestly, I would leave it off. I would focus on a resume that's rich in accomplishments, because the other challenge here with an objective is, what if your objective doesn't align with what the employer wants, but it's still something you'd be interested in? You probably just knocked yourself out. So be careful with that. And again, I would say leave it off. 7, no action verbs. So again, if you're having accomplishments, you should have action verbs. Responsibilities are not action verbs. 8, leaving off important information like your address and cell phone number. It's important to have your address, cell phone number, and email address on your resume. 9, visually too busy. That's where logos and pictures really make things too busy. So keep it clear. There are many formats available on the internet for resumes, so find one that works for you. 10, I can't even believe people do it, but apparently do. Incorrect contact information. If that's your problem, I'm not even gonna start with that. So we'll just say don't have incorrect contact information. Frequently asked questions. Should I limit my resume to one page? As we've said before, if you're a new grad, that's probably a good guideline. If you're not, then 2 to 3 pages is the right guideline. Should my graduation date be listed on my resume? I'm going to say yes. I think it's important to put as much information as pertinent, and I think your graduation date is important. People want to know if there's a gap in your resume. So if you graduated in 1979, your resume starts in 2005, people are going to want to know what you've been doing. And vice versa, if you graduated in 2006 and your resume starts in 2007, people are going to know, okay, they got right out of school and this is what they're doing. What should I include in terms of extracurricular activities? So in terms of extracurricular activities, you know, everybody tells you you need them to get into college. But if you've got a resume and you're looking for a job, you probably already went to college. So extracurricular activities are one of those areas where your resume is too long. You probably want to cut it. No, people really don't get hired because they were a Boy Scout. You know, if there's a couple things you want to add on there, then that would be important. For example, many, many moons ago, I hiked the Appalachian Trail. I walked all the way from Georgia to Maine, and I raised money for the American Cancer Society. I don't think that's a hobby. I think that's an accomplishment, and I think it's an activity that people find interesting. So I leave that on my resume. The fact that I study martial arts, I leave off my resume because you know what? It's not an accomplishment. Many people can do that, and many people probably wouldn't find that very interesting. So again, that's how I would look at using extracurricular activities. Next question, is there a preferred format? There are many formats that work. Just find one that's clear, concise, and works for you. Should I customize my resume for each job search? We kind of covered this a little bit, but what I would say is, yes, you should. You should take a little bit of time and focus your accomplishments on the job that you are applying for. So that wraps up our frequently asked questions. So today we covered the purpose of a resume, differentiating yourself, format and style, top 10 resume mistakes, and resume frequently asked questions. Join us next time on the RCTM podcast, where we'll cover what is an executive recruiter and how to leverage this resource when exploring potential career opportunities.